This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Never got advice from the right guys. Don't know how to get him between my inner thighs. Don't know how to make my wants seem legit or any kind of social etiquette. I'm on my knees. Am I even giving this guy head right? I'll seize the cheese. Fuck, I'm sorry, didn't mean to bite. You come here. Show by Jake and I'm there. Make the situation seem almost clear. Oh dear, helpful at a steady pace. And they're sponsored by Squarespace. When I'm feeling awkward and concerned, so I'm gonna tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna listen to a couple Jews. They always come through on a podcast called The Fireway. I think that you should listen to. Listen to If I Were You.
Yeah, that okay. Was Claire.
Thanks, Claire.
Weiger, Mitch, what do you guys think?
Little body for a stretch.
B-A-W-D-Y?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, body.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the head part.
Like it was too salacious for you.
It got a little blue. Ribald. Yeah, for sure.
I saw you take the headphones off.
Yeah, my monocle fell into my wine glass. It was a whole ordeal.
You spit champagne a bit.
It was a spit take.
I kind of liked that dirtiness. But... Yeah. Kind of a dirty guy, right?
Yeah.
You like the horn dog.
You like the bodiness.
I like that bodiness.
No real plug, says Claire. Just my Insta, Claire Fleur. I might put out an album soon. So if you play this 5 years from now, tell people to look up Claire Fay, F-E-Y.
Okay.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank
Killing
you, Claire.
It. Very I believe cool. It was a parody of Demi Lovato's Heart Attack.
Got it.
I might be wrong. But that's what I looked
so
up.
So I've never heard that song, but I have heard the cover.
Yeah.
And I like that one better, frankly.
Yeah. Have you guys ever done that where you listen to a song and you're like, you know, that's actually a cover. And then you realize you like the cover more than the original.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think for it's the Hendrix Watchtower is the big one.
Oh,
right?
What's that?
It's a Bob Dylan song.
Oh.
And yeah, the Hendrix version is
what
just like
the
a lot
ska
more
version of There's Always Something There to Remind Me?
Oh, that's right. Good, yeah.
I think that's the one that everybody knows.
All right. Chicks are pop punk. Or the Lemonheads' Mrs. Robinson.
Right.
The Newfound Glory Never Ending Story is a big one for me.
Oh, that's a good one.
The Ataris' cover of Boys of Summer.
Yeah. I do not like that. I do not like that one.
I heard that one on the radio recently.
They changed a one detail in that, which they changed they changed it to a Black Flag sticker instead of what's it in the original?
It's a Deadhead sticker.
It's Deadhead sticker, and they changed it to Black Flag sticker for some reason. It's, it's a one lyrical change. It's so arbitrary.
Is that legal? You can do that? You have to ask for permission to do the one
or
change?
Is that the one thing that makes it legal?
Yeah, right.
We changed the words.
I have Black Flag sticker. Gavel. Innocent. Innocent.
Come Together, Aerosmith. I think I originally thought that was like an Aerosmith song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it's a Beatles.
Yeah, which what is that the right title of the song?
Yeah.
Come Together.
Okay. Yeah. It's a Beatles song. I thought it was truly Aerosmith.
That's an embarrassing one. That's really good.
Yeah, but that was like the first band I was like as a boy, which is embarrassing anyways, yeah. But that was like the first band I was into.
I knew the Blackbird song, the Blackbird at the end of, what was that like?
Dynamite Hack, yeah. Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, I knew Blackbird from the end of that song before the Beatles version.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. My parents like were not Beatles parents. I grew up listening to Billy Joel.
Yeah.
So I didn't even learn any Beatles songs till I was like, in college, which was...
These guys are pretty good. They're
not bad. Have you guys heard this song, Hello Jude?
Do you see Taylor Swift got in trouble today for doing a cover?
Really?
Yeah. We don't usually do topical shit, but just an hour ago, Taylor Swift released Earth, Wind, and Fire's September cover, and people are getting mad at her for making it white.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I listened to part of it. It wasn't very good.
So, it's not good?
Yeah. It's like a Taylor Swift love acoustic song that she turned in, that she turned September into.
I remember when I was in high school and I had been drinking a little bit and I woke up the next morning and on my computer I had brought up the lyrics to September. And I was like, what was I doing last night? Why was I reading? Why was I looking up the lyrics to September?
Why were there tears on my pillow?
Man, that's so much more pure than like waking up and find that you've texted one of your exes.
Right.
Or like weird shit on Pornhub.
That's true.
I got drunk and looked up
what
the lyrics
did I look up last night? I was so gone, I tried to dissect a fucking classic rock song.
That song owns, by the way. Earth, Wind, and Fire is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were doing concerts just recently, weren't they?
Yeah, so, I think they still, from what I've heard, they just put on an amazing show.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to hear a Taylor Swift version, all over the internet. All over the web.
We're good.
Did you ever call into radio? This is another high school thing I did. I'd call into radio stations at like on the weekends at night.
Oh, for what?
To like I would request songs.
Yep.
And this guy called me. Who was he? He because I'm trying to. It was on ZLX in Boston, which is like a classic rock station. And he called me Mayor Mike. He called me Mike, the mayor of Quincy. Like I called in multiple times and would be like messed up and be like, play like Pink Floyd or whatever I would do. And
you so, like get on the air?
I get on the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was how we used to listen to songs before Winamp. We have to call a radio station and beg them to play a song so you can hear it over the frequency.
What was that, like, that weird thing that came out, it was like an online jukebox that was like after Napster.
Oh yeah, where everyone like, could DJ a room.
Yeah, it was like some sort of precursor to Spotify.
Yeah, you can like, it's a virtual you DJing a room, and then if enough people vote you away, then another person becomes a DJ. Do you guys remember that?
I semi-remember this.
Yeah, DJ a room app.
Oh man.
Virtual?
This would have
lyrics to September?
Yeah. This would have predated when people called them apps, I think. This would have been like... They called it like
the website.
Yeah, the website. Yeah.
Remember website?
What an archaic term.
God, it was so weird back then. I used to call in sports radio stations.
Oh, nice.
And like, because they would have like, just like giving away baseball tickets every night. Because
sure. You know,
tens of thousands of tickets. So they're like, hey, call in, give us your best guess for something. We'll give you baseball tickets. And like at a certain point, I was just like every day in the mail, like opening up baseball tickets that I would or wouldn't use. Because as a 10-year-old, you don't really need to go to a Dodger game every other day.
It's nice that you live so close to the stadium, though.
Wow. Yeah.
I wrote Bill Simmons an angry. You remember you could like he had a thing where you could like write to him, maybe even on the website.
The mailbag,
just like an online submission form. You mean?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and I wrote like a very angry, which I wouldn't even want to see now. I was maybe a sophomore or junior in college, so it was like. You don't speak for all of Boston. It was like stuff like that where
I'm Mayor Mike.
I'm the Mayor of Quincy.
Also, can you play Three Dog Night? Mama told me not to come your next column.
That does seem like a Bill Simmons-y thing to do.
Yeah, comparing that to like a classic Red Sox moment or something. All right, I should introduce you guys. We've been talking for 9 minutes, and some people don't know that you are Nick Weiger and Mike Mitchell
from
the Doughboys.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Mitchell, Mitch.
Mitch.
Mike.
Yeah, everyone calls me Mitch. Yeah.
Not Mike.
No. Well, I mean, my name is Mike, so I'm fine with it. It just, you know, when you're Mike, no one They call you something different.
Yeah.
When your name is Mike, they just call you something different. They call you Mitch.
Doughboys, HeadGum's newest, latest, greatest podcast.
That's right. We're taking down the network.
Greatest is a little much. Well, the most, yeah, latest is fine. Yeah, latest, stick with latest.
Latest is fine.
Latest, that also just kind of sounds like you guys died.
Right.
the late
Doughboys.
Doughboys podcast.
Possibility.
Very excited to have you on the network. Very excited to have you on our show now. In case, for whatever reason, some of our fans haven't listened to your show, what's the elevator pitch? What's the log line for the Doughboys?
Oh, I guess we do got to say, this is going to be hard.
It's the podcast about chain restaurants. That's it in a sentence. Mitch and I both have very strong opinions on food, and specifically what we cover is, the fast food chains and the sit down chains that are oftentimes derided or ignored in the MSM, the mainstream media. Yeah. Don't even start on those guys.
Yep.
So we'll go to Olive Garden, we'll go to Denny's, we'll go to Wendy's, we'll go to Taco Bell, and we'll review these chains, and we treat it with a good degree of seriousness. And I think that's partly what people respond to, is that we do actually evaluate this food.
And we
like it. We're celebrating it. We're not making fun of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you treat it very seriously. You guys are reviewing like something like Taco Bell, talking about like the menu items and what you rate everyone and what you give it on a grand scale. And then, Nick, you start every episode with like a, what do you call it, a 2 to 3 minute cold open about the brief history of the restaurant?
Yeah, it's like a loosely plagiarized monologue from Wikipedia, where I just sort of recite a bunch of facts about that week's chain.
Usually veers into dark territory.
Well, that's just my own personal psyche bleeding into it.
Has anyone ever done one on you guys? I was thinking of starting this episode with that.
Our friend Jess McKenna's podcast, her and Zach Reno's podcast.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna bleep all that out because they're not a HeadGum podcast.
Right, you should. But off book, they do an improvised musical, and we guested on that, and she surprised us with a cold open about the Doughboys podcast.
Did Nagel ever do one too? No, I mean, Nagel called my mom.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Called her what?
She wouldn't dare. She called her up. She got her like leave a voice message on her phone, which is so strange that they were talking.
Yeah.
They were talking to each other.
She also got my wife Natalie to record something for the show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she's a little. She's a little prankster.
She's a little sneaky.
She's great.
She's a sneakster. But this is our podcast. This is an advice show. People email us. They're in sticky situations in need of our guidance for whatever reason. Jake and I are happy to oblige. Sometimes it's just us. Sometimes we have new friends in the studio. Today, it's you guys. So what we have here are real emails from real people. We give them fake names just to preserve their anonymity in case they're like a little afraid of being outed by their friends and relatives. Like, that specific situation wasn't me because we weren't talking to that person by their actual name. So, Mitch, why don't we start with you?
Oh, wow.
Do you have a name to call this guy, one dude?
A
gentleman's name.
Do I have a name for him?
Yeah.
Do you have a name for him?
I'm going to call him Dog Man.
Dog Man or just Dog Man?
Dog Man.
Dog Man. That sounds like the first video game. That was the working title for Mario.
Yeah.
It's a dog in a costume trying to go to a movie. What's your name, sir? Dog Man.
You're thinking of Dog Man. That's not me. I'm Dog Man. Dog Man writes, I'm a freshman in college and I'm living in a dorm. This year is ending and I still don't know 75% of the guys on my floor, and that's fine because almost every interaction I have with them has been negative and I do not particularly care about making friends with any of these guys. But recently something slightly more serious has occurred. Our floor has a problem with clogged toilets, and it happens more than it should. At least one or two of the five toilets being clogged at all times, and it's pretty nasty. I just thought it was due to our floor being full of guys. Shit happens. But it isn't ideal, and what are you going to do besides your best individually not to clog it? However, the other day after leaving the area where the toilets are, which I guess is just the bathroom, you know the area where the toilets are, leaving the area where the toilets are and going to where the sinks are to wash my hands, and this one weird kid was staring at me. I washed my hands and left. Not 2 seconds later, I see him posting on our floor group message a description of me saying, I just saw this kid trying to purposefully clog one of the toilets. The group message blew up, and all the kids on the floor were saying they were going to kick the shit out of this kid who was clogging this toilet. I didn't say anything because, one, the toilet was not even fucking clogged, and two, I can avoid any interaction with these kids at that I want to, and three, I thought it would blow over and no one would bring it up. However, later I see this shit posted in the bathroom, and it's a notice that says, "We know what you look like. You are above average height. You are white. You are have curly light hair. You wear glasses, and you have a light gray backpack. We've had enough of your immature antics."
Oh man, that narrows it down to every guy at college.
"Being a young Jewish man, this description of me is pretty accurate, and I do have a light gray backpack. So what do I do in this situation? Sorry for writing a short novel. I just hope you get to my question. Love, Dog Dog Man."
Dog Dog Man.
All right.
Short novel or novella, if you will.
Oh, nice.
Shut up.
I think the answer is pretty obvious here. New backpack.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Everything is fine. All you need is as a new backpack.
Yeah, you don't have to go full fugitive.
But there is that one dude. There is the one dude that saw him, though.
Yeah.
Like, so if he's walking down the hall, even with a new backpack, and that guy is like, you're the clogger.
Right.
Like, that guy can spot him. So he has to murder one person and get a new backpack.
I should say that the top of the bulletin said, "Attention Holland Hall toilet clogger. We know what you look like." So it was kind of outing him as the toilet clogger.
I'm just surprised, because for me, he says he doesn't know 75% of the guys on his floor, which is fine. I feel like, I'm thinking of my dorm experience.
Yeah, you definitely didn't. Probably more so.
Right.
I'm taking the over.
But I still, knew who they were. Like, I may never have had a conversation with this guy, but I know, oh, that's Ben from my floor. You know what I mean? Right. Like, the fact that these guys don't know his name and he doesn't seem to know their name, I'm just wondering how sprawling this dorm floor is, what the situation is exactly.
It must be massive. But then if there's also a problem in this particular bathroom,
uh-huh.
even that just has to be, a wing of the bathrooms.
Right.
Or a wing of the hall.
I'm inferring from this that it's an all-male floor. Does that seem to be the case? Did you say that specifically?
Yeah, you constantly mentioned guys, 75% of the guys.
Right.
Did you guys have co-ed bathrooms in college?
We did not have co-ed bathrooms, but we had co-ed floors. There were just one-gender floors. I don't know if that's a thing they do anymore, but that was...
We had a single-gender floor.
Yeah.
I had a single-gender floor 2 years in a row, actually.
Really?
Man. Mm-hmm.
And you preferred it that way, right? You said, can I live on a single-gender
single floor,
preferably
please.
Ladies.
On our floor...
You're kicked out.
My freshman year, we had a problem with, the sinks. Or no, not the shower drains being clogged from people jerking off into them.
Mm, oh,
yes, and there was, God. A notice of,
so much semen that there's, it clogged
who's,
up.
Who's doing that? And we're like, everybody. all of us.
Yeah, where, you gotta. That's where a lot of, I feel like you
gotta the only private spot we had.
That's why you wear shower sandals.
In the communal showers?
Yeah, why not? Mm.
I feel like that those stall, they're like bathrooms. Like, I remember them ours at least, they were kind of just open, and then the stall walls didn't go all the way to the floor.
Oh, they didn't go all the way down.
Yeah, they just went partway down.
Ours were tile walls that went all the way down.
Okay.
But it was still an open room, and there was only curtains.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of privacy there. I can't imagine.
There was a bathtub in the east. There was a bathtub shower.
Where
there was
did you go to school?
There was one big one, and then all small ones. And then if I had to, that's where I would. And also, I would plan it out instead of you plan around your. Anyways, reminds me that college is trash.
Yeah. Where did you guys go to school?
Your college had a bath.
Yeah. I went to Ithaca College in upstate New York.
And you just sit in that tub and say, "This is City Hall and I'm the mayor."
Smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Nick, you went to UCLA?
Yes, I did. I didn't graduate.
Why not?
How many years did you go there, too?
I went there 3 years broken up.
Broken. I got you.
I went 2 years.
So you're
and then
almost
I got
done.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could go. I could finish my degree. But at this point, what's that going to get me?
You don't have a college degree?
No.
Dumbass.
I have a feeling you knew that. Jake's the same way. He doesn't have a college degree either.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
but I went to even less school, and my school that I went to was way worse than UCLA. So.
Okay.
He went to Stanford.
But the last school I went to was Hunter College in Manhattan.
Okay. That's a legit school.
Yeah, that's a real one.
Yeah.
Nick and I don't, we give a hard time to college.
Yeah, it's kind of a, it's something of a scam, right?
It has, yes, it absolutely is. It's crazy.
And I mean, UCLA is at least like a public school. You probably didn't pay too much money, but like.
Yeah, and we had in-state tuition, and my dad worked for the state, so it was like a little bit, you know, it wasn't a, it wasn't especially costly.
Yeah.
But the, like, the tuition still, in even in the UC system, has gone up so, so much.
Right.
And I feel like that's just, I mean, this, I don't know how to talk about college debt, but people know how, people, probably your listeners have some of it, know how crippling it can be. I mean, it took me years to get out of my college debt, and I had nothing, literally nothing to show for it.
I think this guy's story just reminds me of college. Is like you go there, and then you're like, oh, there's like dumb assholes. Like, you just realize that there's like the weird guy who probably is the clogger, by the way. I'm sure that guy is the clogger.
Dude, right.
I know what the clogger looks like. The toilet's overflowing behind him.
It's like a game of mafia, where it's like, why are you accusing everyone?
Yeah,
you're the murderer.
He's for sure the murderer. For sure the clogger. There's also just buy a fucking plunger for that floor or something, right?
It depends on the severity of the clog, because it may be something needs to be snaked out.
Spoken like a true clogger.
What color's your backpack? Light gray. Holy shit.
That's right, it's me, Big Shit Swagger.
BSW.
I like too that we're trying to get people to, you know, come and listen to the Doughboys podcast, and we're two old men who say they hate college. the young listeners.
People at college hate college, too. It is crazy that you're paying like $50,000 a year to shit next to a bunch of people trying to clog the toilet.
Right. And that college experience is viewed as valuable for some reason, when living in the dorms is generally pretty miserable.
Awful. Yeah.
I would say, I mean, yeah, I don't know. We're towards the end of the school year, right? Like, it sounds like he's almost. I would just try to power through it. Yeah. What else can you do at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, if it escalates to bullying or something, that's one.
Then you start really clogging the toilet.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That'll show them.
Yeah. But I mean, that's just like college. It's just sort of. You know, when I went to, you go through high school, and then you go to college, and you're kind of like, I'm done with high school. And then you're like, oh, wait, it's the same shit.
Yeah.
And then you get jobs, and then you're like, oh, this is just how people behave. Yeah. There's always like, you'll have the job, and you'll have someone who clogs the toilet at your job, or someone who like, you know, microwaves their chili and and it gets everywhere, and they don't clean it up. Like, there's just assholes everywhere, and
it
you just have to deal with them.
It doesn't get better.
It never gets better, no.
But at least in your job, you're getting paid.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, at college you have to pay to just experience this shit.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, this next question is about somebody who microwaves chili and doesn't clean the microwave. So I'll skip that one specifically. Actually, we have a really sweet question, but I want to take some time with it. So let me take a break now since we're at about the halfway point of our show. Can you believe it? Time flies.
Wow. Mm.
We're over 20 minutes deep. Where does it go? We'll be right back with Mitch and Weiger after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag-and-drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness.
It's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's
that's
a non-movement
good.
Movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should
be. I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so
it's more fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Do you guys have any?
On to Lesser the Fight.
Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
So I just, every time we do this, I have to apologize to the guest for the mom I'm coming part.
Right.
Yeah. It was a goof.
You should apologize to your mom for that.
I don't even know the origin story of it now, but that's neither here nor there.
A lot of raunch in your guys' music.
Yeah. If you thought the opening theme song was body. Do you guys have any unsolicited advice for us?
I got a little something, and you know, we were in the world of male hygiene to some degree earlier, and this is along those lines. This is a trick I learned. Put your socks on before your underwear.
Oh.
Because that way, any fungus on your feet is not going to transfer upward to your genitals by your underwear, like, legs dragging along it as you put them on. Your feet, rather, touching your underwear as you put it on.
Is that like real, like, doctor advice?
Yeah, it's like an actual.
Or is that like you're like some sort of OCD person?
Right. Yeah. I've conducted some tests on my own, some control groups. No, this is a thing I actually read online about, like, how to not get jock itch. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll start doing that.
Holy shit, I had jock itch.
Yeah.
Over the summer.
Yeah, I've had it.
Awful.
I've had it before. It's really miserable, and it's like a punchline sort of, you know, ailment to be like, aha, jock itch, oh boy. But it actually is very uncomfortable, and you've got to have some sort of cream like on your. It's just horrible.
I'll do is I'll put the cream on my feet.
And there you go.
Yeah, that way when I drag my tight, tight underwear up my legs, the residue from the cream traveling all the way up my pale thighs, finally landing where the jock itch is.
I can't put the socks on first.
Sure you can.
No.
I always wait to put the socks on when I'm about to put my shoes on.
Right.
I wait. My socks, my morning routine is underwear, pants, socks in my pocket, and then I make coffee.
Oh, socks in your pot.
Wow. I don't put the socks on until I'm about to leave.
I'll tell you what. Yep, I thought you were going to say put the socks on before pants, which is what I've been doing, because it's easier to put your pants on over your socks than put your socks on under your pants.
I do that. I've always done that, but that was a more socks before underwear was something that I started doing after that.
Yeah,
but yeah. That in terms of pulling your socks up under your pants. I mean, if you got some tight pants, that can be tricky.
No, that's.
Do you go belt first and then pants? So you put the belt on around your naked waist.
Right.
And then you pull your around pants. My neck.
Yeah.
Hat on my dick. Sock on my nose. Everything is topsy-turvy.
Dry humping a pillow. Do you guys do barefoot in the house, or like socks walking around your house?
We have a shoe-free home, so I will take my shoes off when I get home, and won't put them on until I leave the house. As far as socks versus bare feet, I mean, I think it's better to be barefoot, right? Because your feet aren't getting sweaty, you're not getting moisture trapped in there. But sometimes if it's a little cold, a little frigid, I'll put on some socks just so my tootsies aren't cold.
We have a slipper house.
Okay.
Well, actually,
right.
I'm an old man now. I have orthopedic slippers that are really, really soft, and I don't know.
They sound great.
Oh, it's so nice. I look forward to them.
I have custom insoles in my New Balances, so I'm an old man as well. And like adapting to that old man life is delightful.
Yeah. I got Dr. Scholl's in my sneakers right now,
and
I'm gelling. Yeah.
Call me Mud Gelling. It's funny when Doughboys joined Headgum, I was reading some of the tweet replies, and some of the people were saying that. The similarities between me and Jake and you guys, and a lot of people were saying that Liger was more of a me and that Mitch was more of a Jake, but now I'm seeing some similarities between you two.
Right.
Yeah.
The non shoe lifestyle.
Yeah. I think a lot of the people is suggesting a connection between us, Amir, is the Southland connection.
That's right.
We're both from SoCal. Yeah. I think that's that's part of where that came from.
Laker fans.
Right. You guys are like the robots of your.
That's right.
Yeah. That's true. That podcast. Too. Yeah. Sure.
And then you're the human.
I'm the human.
Good man.
When you came here just 8 minutes ago, you were changing the clock on our oven.
That's true. So that was
without asking anybody.
Without asking you guys, I called them out on it.
Yeah. Was the clock wrong, or was it not even on?
It was wrong. It was about. I mean, it was like 20 minutes early.
Yeah.
Did you hear the anger in his voice when he said it was wrong? It was wrong.
It was an easy thing to fix. I told Mitch I had that model stove before in a previous apartment, so I was like, okay, I know exactly how to change this.
Wow.
Yeah. He put on a blindfold and did it. And then he turned three of the stovetops on, gas only. He's lighting a match and throwing it over through the window. Backdraft.
They took Headgum down from the inside.
That was a solid unsolicited advice. That's the exact level we want.
Okay, great.
Oh man, I don't have one. I was trying to think of one when Nick was giving his, and I know I have some sort of
life hack.
Yeah, you know, buy a Roomba.
Oh,
dope. Okay.
I actually put one on my wedding registry.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing on it.
I was trying to think of things that, I mean, I have two cats, and I was just trying to think of things that have like really helped out my life, and the Roomba is very helpful to me. I mean, I know it's an expensive gift. It's not an easy thing to do.
How much is a Roomba?
I mean, that's $200.
Yeah, for a nice one, it's $232.
Does it clean floors or carpets or both?
Both.
It's a vacuum.
It's a little vacuum. They're good. They're good now. I think when they first came out, they were bad.
Yeah, I bet.
And now the Roomba, they're good now. They travel around.
Can you tell me how they move? Is it row by row, or is it just random and it's eventually getting into everything?
It's kind of random. Like and then it maps out your house and it moves around.
Wow.
The cats love it. They chase it around. It's very fun, cute.
Did they ever write it?
I thought about that though. Yeah. They might be a little. They might weigh too much, but that would be very cute.
And I have a guest on one time that said, whose advice was to get two cats, and I'm not kidding.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude has two cats and he loves it.
Yeah. Did you buy them both at the same time? I got them both, their brother and sister.
And that was just after listening to that episode, right, Mitch?
It was after listening to that episode.
People really take the advice to heart.
Their brother and sister, though, at one point, they were getting a little frisky with each other.
Cersei and Jaime Lannister.
Game of Thrones style.
How long have you had the cats?
I've had them for 2 years now.
And how long have you had the Roomba?
And I've had the Roomba for about 1 year now, and it's been great.
And if you had to choose?
Roomba.
I heard you need to get two Roombas because then he doesn't get too lonely.
A bonded pair of Roombas. Tethered by their Bluetooth.
I'm on Roomba.com right now. Sorry, I should say iRobot.com.
That's right.
Right.
iRobot, the movie, makes a robot that can actually clean your home. Do you know the difference between these four models of Roomba? Is there that many differences between a self-moving vacuum?
It'd be nice if one of them had like a camera so you could watch from your phone what part of the house it was cleaning.
That's
That's good.
That's very good.
Wi-Fi enabled or something.
I like that. There's probably one that's like $1,000, right?
You're talking about the 980 model?
The 980 model.
Yeah, titanium alloy.
The same as your New Balances.
Polished iron polished iron chassis. I mean, this is beautiful.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it plays music.
I love the specs. I love hearing the specs.
How long do you
What's the torque on that bad boy?
How long do you keep it on? Is it on all day?
And it goes once a day. It's scheduled once a day, every day.
Scheduled.
Does it plug itself in?
It does. It goes back to the charging dock on
its
own.
Awesome.
Sometimes it's funny. You'll find it like you'll find it just like it will say it's like on a ledge or something, and you'll go and see it like trapped, and you'll be like, oh, Roomba.
Sometimes you come home and it's drunk on red wine, watching TV.
I was worried sick. Not that you care. I guess I'm programmed to clean after you. I wish you were programmed to give a shit. Spilling it on the white carpet. Roomba.
Let's see if I can get that out.
And I'll say this about the Roomba is that before I got the Roomba, the cats were tracking litter so much that I felt litter in my bed. And that's when I said I need to make some sort of change here because they're tracking litter everywhere.
Right.
And so that's when I bought.
But the Roomba's not getting in your bed.
The Roomba is.
But it gets the litter before it gets in the bed.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got the Roomba about a year ago, so for 2 years. But this isn't bragging, but I want to tell this. But a girl had come over and she got into my bed and she said, "Were you eating snacks in your bed? Because the litter had been all over, the litter was over the bed." Right,
but at that point, you almost have to lie and be like, yes.
Can I have this snack then? This small little oat snack. I'm going to eat
like
it.
Gray nerds.
Do you know she wasn't, if she wasn't just reacting to the, like the Reese's wrappers that are just in your covers?
In addition to the litter?
It was my mom, by the way. I'll just ask her whenever.
All right, solid. Two solid bits of advice.
Yes.
One coming from the mind of a germaphobe, and the other an awesome little Roomba device. And we have a coupon code for that, I imagine?
Yeah. I Mitch. Yeah. I Mitch.
We'll wow, you got your own personal website, too. All right, here's a more of a sweeter question coming from listener. Wagger, why don't you give us a sweet lady's name?
Oh, a sweet lady's name? Hey, who's sweeter than Princess Peach?
Nick, that's nice.
God, you're rock hard.
Nick, are you from the iRobot company as well?
Because you are just good, clean fun. Princess Peach writes, let's get down to business. Do either of you have problems concentrating on the creative process? Mm. I want to write. I love to write. I have a million ideas. I have started so many projects, but I have such an intensely difficult time actually finishing anything. Any advice on how to keep yourself motivated would be groovy. Much love, Princess Peach. Mm. This is a good example of the male questions we get, the toilet clogger versus the female who wants to just finish writing assignments occasionally. What are your guys' day jobs, for those of you who don't know? Do you have day jobs? Would you consider yourselves writers, actors, comedians?
The bulk of my income comes from writing jobs, so I mean that's how I classify myself. I used to be a staff writer until fairly recently. I was a staff writer on this Comedy Central show called At Midnight, and I've worked a lot in variety sketch. And a lot of times there, you're under a deadline. And the thing I would say, as far as what was useful about that in terms of transferring it to my own work, is just like the imposing a deadline is the best inspiration. Like, you'll get something done. You're just like, okay, I have to get this thing done by this period of time. We're meeting at 8 a.m. to write a show that is going to tape at 3 o'clock this afternoon and is going to air at 11 o'clock tonight. So we have this much time to write the show. And if you don't do it, I mean, you just have to do it because that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Right.
So I would just say, try to impose deadlines on yourself and try to stick by them in the same way that you'll be like, okay, I have this yoga class that I have to go to, and it's at this time, and I'm going to go to it because I've signed up for it and I paid for it, and that will help me stay accountable from an exercise standpoint. easier than just saying, like, you know what, I should start jogging, like having like a clear, tangible obligation. Try to impose that on yourself. And if that doesn't work with just you, I mean, maybe a group of like-minded colleagues and friends you can collaborate with and all hold each other accountable.
That's good.
But yeah, that's the only thing that works for me, really. It's always tough, though. I still find myself like starting things and abandoning things.
Yeah.
It's hard to even start things sometimes.
Starting's the hard part.
Before you start.
Starting is very hard. I think the advice of writing with people is good, because I mean, I am a writer-actor, so that means I'm barely not a writer, I guess, but anytime I do like to write, I like to write with other people. So I get together and share it with them.
Sure.
Yeah. Knowing helpful. What you bring to the table, mm-hmm. like maybe for me, like I needed an Amir. I need somebody that like focuses our energy and meets the deadlines like you're talking about. So if I have that, then I can contribute like, you know, my style of creativity and uh-huh. things get done. So finding a writing partner is one. And I would also say, she's talking about having a million ideas. Try just having like five.
Yeah, just, your five favorites.
Narrow it
yeah.
down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe try pitch some of those ideas to some trusted friends and see what they'll help guide you on which ones you should focus on. Yeah.
Right.
And a little writing group, you'd have to hold yourself accountable. So if you got a few friends that were writers, and they say every Sunday we meet or something, then you'd want to have something there to read, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's good. I always find it so hard for, I only know about comedy writing, but like when I hear about somebody writing a script by themselves, like how do you know what's funny? Like when me and Jake write, we just write, I come up with a joke, and if it makes him laugh, then it's good. And if it doesn't, then it's bad. And if it's just like me alone in a room and I like show the joke to the wall and it's complete silence, we're like, right. Well, I hope that's good. Times 120 pages. Like, yeah. I hope this is good. I hope this is good. And then you show the finished product to someone. That seems like impossible to me. How are you supposed to know if something's funny if there's like a room full of nothing in front of you?
I think that's the scary thing in comedy is that when it's gone, when everyone just like doesn't laugh anymore. Like I could show you. Well, I mean, I was going to say I could show you my funniest joke and you wouldn't laugh, but that just means it's not funny. But I'm saying, like, you don't laugh much anymore. You're done.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
You're dead inside.
No.
But you would say a lot of people don't laugh anymore right?
I mean, you're maybe talking about the sort of jaded comedy writer side of things, which may not be who the Princess Peach is. That may not be her circle. But, yeah, that is a thing I think that happens. I think you get the too cool for school people
and that's funny.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's
hysterical. Instead of like a genuine laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something's got to be like meta or like format breaking to actually evoke a laugh because they know they're just familiar with all the tricks and whatever, you know.
Do you know that's a Harvard Lampoon thing is like that they don't laugh, like they only laugh at something they think is very, they'd never give a courtesy. there's some people who like adhere to it, but they're like, they never give a courtesy laugh.
Hard. That just makes things uncomfortable for you. Like if somebody says a joke, you just stare at them. Like that's bad for everyone.
I think Harvard people are smart, but that's dumb. That's a comedy killer.
Yeah,
courtesy laugh is like, let's keep this conversation alive.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I always get courtesy laughs. Yeah. It's the way I get laughs.
Also, if somebody asks you a question that you don't necessarily agree with, they're told not to answer. So you just stare at them in silence until they have to ask something more interesting or thought-provoking.
This is a good point. Princess Peach, surround yourself with Toads and Marios and Luigi's. Stay away from Waluigi, Wario.
And all the
Bowser especially.
Bowser especially.
Pre-Donkey Kong Country, Donkey Kong or Cranky Kong.
Mm-hmm. Iggy.
I
wish we Martin only Koopa gave her Jr. this advice instead of any of the writing advice.
Stay away from Ludwig.
Ludwig Vaughn.
You're naming all the little Bowsers?
All the Koopalings, yeah. Who were at one point the Koopa kids, but they've been retconned into just being sort of Bowser affiliates because Bowser Jr. is now his one kid.
Oh yeah, and they've clarified that Bowser's dick doesn't work, right?
Right.
Yeah, because who's Bowser's wife?
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Who's
he fucking? Where's right. the mom Bowser?
We should see a mom Bowser. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Or a Mouser for short.
Although
there was a Mouser.
There is a Mouser.
A different character, yeah.
Yeah. Is Mouser the boss in 2? Is that who?
Yeah, there's like an electric mouse.
Rat with sunglasses, I think.
Wait. Hold on a second. Because there's a Ninja Turtles Mouser,
yeah,
right?
That's a different thing.
Oh, really?
And then there's the boss of Mario 2 is a mouse with sunglasses. That is called Mouser?
I think so.
Has anyone talked about drunk. Mouser being a what? Female Bowser? All right, let's get to one last question. This one's from a lady who, it's a good combination of the first two questions we've asked, tried to answer. But
she's
Mitch,
writing and shitting.
Yeah. Kind of. Do you have a female lady's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
I do. And it's really good.
And here it is.
Here it is. Helen Donovan, my grandmother.
Let's see you make fun of that one, Nick.
Yes, First Lady of Quincy.
What do you think of that, Nick?
I'm sure she was a lovely woman.
She's still alive, you bastard.
Oh, wow. Son of
okay. All right. What did you say her name was? Helen?
Yeah, Helen.
Donovan.
Helen writes, my roommate and I have been living together for 8 months. When we moved in, she brought a couple flashlights with her. Mm. She put one of them in the bathroom counter on move-in day. I didn't think of anything
on
of
the
it.
Bathroom counter.
Yes, on the bathroom counter. I didn't think anything of it, just thinking she liked to be prepared for everything. Well, we have a very small bathroom, so I put it in the cabinet out of the way a couple days later. The next morning, it was back on the counter. Again, I put it back in the cabinet, and 2 days later, it was back on the counter. This has continued for the past 8 months. I gave up putting it in the cabinet, but it moves around every day as if it's being used. It's a weird and unimportant thing, but I'm just so curious about what she's doing with it there on a daily basis. I told my friend about it, and she thought maybe she was using it as a dildo. But honestly, there's too many protruding knobs and such on it for me to think that's possible.
Dear God.
My question is, should I ask my roommate what's going on here, or do I run the risk of embarrassing her that it is a sexual thing? Do you guys have any idea what she could be using it for besides maybe just some additional focused lighting? Thanks. Love, Helen.
All right. Theories.
Oh, man. I don't know my... can we just call her Nana, by the way?
I didn't realize this would be about dildos right. at all.
Why not? I mean, if she's just got it out on the counter, it can't be that private.
Right,
and it's something she wants to lie about, she'll have a lie prepared because she'll know it's been discovered.
Yeah, having be on the counter like almost eliminates dildo.
Yeah,
of course. You don't just leave your dildo out on the counter
unless it looks like a flashlight, and everyone else is none the
hide
wiser.
It in plain sight.
here's my theory: she gets up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, but she doesn't want to turn on the light because it like wakes her up too much. So she just has the flashlight to sort of get
her
bearings.
Insane.
No, that is the right answer. That's exactly.
Have you heard of a cell phone before and the light from the?
I don't know what her cell phone charging situation is, or maybe this is something she started doing when she was younger and it's just a practice.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Also,
you don't know what her cell phone charging situation is?
Maybe she charged it. I used to charge my cell phone in our home office and it wasn't by my nightstand.
That's
so like if I
yeah. But also I think if I was using my cell phone flashlight, I would see like my alerts in the middle of the night, and then I would be compelled to check my phone, and then I would wake up. I'm very sensitive to light.
Yeah.
I don't want a lot of light coming in the middle of the night.
But this doesn't seem like she's in her bedroom. It seems like just like a common room, right?
No, she said it was on the on the bathroom counter.
Oh, okay, but I mean the bathroom counter, that's not attached to her room or anything, right?
Right. I think she gets into the bathroom. I think she can navigate her way to the bathroom, but then she needs a little bit of a light assist to find the toilet slash.
Takes a little twilight tinkle, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a theory.
I think you're right. And I think the way you solve it is you put the flashlight away, you get a nightlight.
Just yes.
That's a nice low nightlight for the bathroom.
And that's on all the time though, right?
You can do a motion censored one.
That's really nice.
Can I just say something here?
No, we're done. We came up with the right answer.
Nana, here's what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Fucking address this with your roommate. Just
talk about it.
Yeah.
That's
ask her why just say why is the flat it's so it, this these weird roommate things can become such like weird, shitty, heavy things if you just don't talk. Right. And who cares? It's just a flashlight. I mean,
it does only feel weird because of how much you're thinking about it.
Right.
Yes. Like that's what happens when you go in your own head on shit. And yeah. then it's like, oh, it's going to be weird to bring it up. She'll know how much I've been thinking about it. But you don't have to bring it up like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to like sit her down and be like, we have to talk about the flashlight.
Yeah, you could just be like, do you use the flashlight for like when you go to the bathroom to like not wake me up? I mean, there's many
ways.
She's like,
what the fuck? No, I jam it up my sniz. It's my dildo.
And actually,
dare you bring it up?
If we use a nightlight, I'll be using that as a little dildo too.
Everything in this house is my dildo.
Grinding my crotch against the wall.
Snail trail everywhere. I can turn anything into a dildo.
Hell, I'll turn you into a dildo.
Door's locked.
Get away from me.
Snail trail. Snail trail, really? That got me.
We had a whole question about a snail trail once, and I already forget what the purpose of it was.
Yeah, me too. But this guy thought that, oh, it was just like the apartment smelled bad, and he thought his mother-in-law was like rubbing her vagina on the walls.
Oh, God.
Snail trail is like such a vile.
Yeah.
Sounds just terrible.
It really does.
All right. Those are two very perfect answers. It's either one, she's using the flashlight as a light, or two, why don't you just ask her what she's fucking using the flashlight
for?
Yeah. Yeah. And also say, I'll second Mitch's answer because that's really the, like you can speculate all you want, but you need to know. So just ask her, and it's not going to be that embarrassing, or she'll just lie about it if it is.
Well, let's get to the root of the show is, if I were you, what would you do if you were in the situation? Would you ask, or would you?
Yeah, I would ask.
I would ask, yeah.
I'd ask.
Yeah.
I'd also ask.
Yeah. It's not a big deal at all. And ask and let us know. This deserves a follow-up pup for sure.
Yeah, we deserve to know.
Maybe I just would buy the nightlight first. And then if it continued to happen, I'd ask.
I think that's true. But I feel like I would be nervous that I tried to.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to like tip my hand that I thought about it. Without talking to her.
I think it can be super casual. Like, hey, and sorry, what is that flashlight in the bathroom all about? I'm so curious. Like, you can say it in a very casual,
non-conversational
way.
I see right through that. I knew you. That's how you asked me, Mitch. Why were you 15 minutes late? It's the same sort of.
I shove it up my crotch. Is that what you wanted to know?
That's probably what you're thinking. Because you expect the worst from me.
I want to move out. Awesome. That's it. We did it. We answered some questions. We had some fun. Do you guys have anything to promote, talk about? Hmm. Anything that you want our fans to know about yourself or your show?
Check out Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants, with me and Mitch. New episodes every Thursday right here on the HeadGum Network.
Nice.
Yeah. Very good pitch.
I also do want to promote the show Little Big Awesome. It's an animated show on Amazon, and I do a little voice in it.
A little voice?
Yeah, an earnest plug I have right now. Watch it on Amazon.
An honest-to-goodness plug.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Guys.
And check out Doughboys, too, of course.
Yeah,
of
obviously.
Course. Yeah,
Favorite episode of Doughboys? I was going to recommend specifically the Nugget Power Hour.
Oh, yeah.
If you love Gabrus, Nicole Byer, and these two just eating one nugget a minute for an hour.
Right. Oh, my God.
Who do you think makes it all the way? Spoiler alert, it's obviously Gabrus.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I mean, they're two of the funniest people, and that one was a lot of fun. A little different than our normal format, but absolutely a
When did you tap out on the Nugget Power Hour?
Very early on. Yeah. I have a small appetite.
Was it like 12 or was it like?
No, I got to like 20 something, but okay. I was out. Me and Nicole were out about the same time. I've said before, like I'm the guy who makes the buffet profitable because I get full very quickly. So yeah. I tap out at one plate.
We're giving a breakdown, but that doesn't matter. You're listening to it for Gabrus won.
Yeah.
Gabrus ate more than you're supposed. He ate 62 nuggets. Yeah. Oh, we're supposed to eat 60 nuggets.
He went Roger Maris on that ass. No performance enhancing drugs either. Straight natural, homie.
Actually, he did. He did use performance. He got high.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, that is performance. Did he use sauce?
You guys dip in sauce? Oh, yeah, he used sauce, yeah. I gave him like a honey from the kitchen. He used honey.
Oh, that's nice.
It was basically sliding
it
down
the throat. That would up my nugget intake to about 30 or 40, I bet.
And do you guys have like a favorite episode in case people want to try something specific?
Nick?
I would say I mean I think you can hop on any of our recent episodes, right? Do we have a favorite? I'm trying to think of one.
I don't know. If you see someone who you like on there, that there's we got a lot of funny people coming on.
Yeah, so. You know, we did an episode with Jason Mantzoukas pretty recently. That was a lot of fun. I mean, just look for the
Wendy's episode, because Wendy's is one of my favorite fast food spots, or any of the Taco Bell ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I look for a chain you like or a guest you like. They're all the same. Yeah, they're all like they're all bad, but
equally so.
Yeah, but equally so.
You can't go wrong or right, depending on how you look at things. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for coming on our show.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
The opening theme song was written by Claire. This closing one was written by Kyle Nethersole. And if you have your own theme songs or questions, send it all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. I should say we're going to Europe, too.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know how available the tickets are yet, but we'll put something online.
Just get excited if you live in Dublin, Amsterdam, and London.
That's right. And we're going to be in Nashville on April 22nd. ifiwereyoushow.com for all those details. And we'll see you back on our podcast in a week from right now.
Boom.
Later, everybody.
Late in the evening, pit in my stomach, advice I wish I had gotten from Jake and Amir. They'll answer your questions with little pretension. They don't know much, they do know other stuff.
If I were you, I would send my questions to Jake and Amir. If I were you, show at gmail.com. Were you? You might not like what you hear, but you hear what you like, yeah. Isn't that what's important, yeah. If I were you, your advice,
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.